Welcome to Core Bariatrics Podcast, hosted by bariatric surgeon Dr. Maria Ilyakova and Tammy Lacoste, bariatric coordinator and a patient herself. Our goal is building and elevating our community. The Core Bariatrics Podcast does not offer medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. On this podcast, we aim to share stories, support, and insight into the world beyond the clinic. Let's get into it. All the families on the podcast. Today, our guest is my sister-in-law, who has had bariatric surgery. I'm going to go back to calling you my best friend again, one of them. And at the end, I kind of want to touch base on where I think we went wrong. But anyways, this is Brittany Lacoste. And yeah, hello. Thanks for being with us.
Yay, welcome.
Yes, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yes, yes. All right. Let's just dive in. And how do you think your experience was with your bariatric program? Do you think you were supported enough? Did you learn all the things you needed to learn thing?
Yeah, I feel like my program was actually fulfilling as far as setting me up for success. I was the person that was very motivated to be able to make this successful, knowing that it was a lifelong thing or commitment that I was doing. That was something I took it very seriously. And I, like what the surgeon said, is exactly what I did, minus one little thing. But we'll get to that later in the podcast. But So I enjoyed the pre part of it. I enjoyed just the knowledge that the surgeon and the staff had to give to you as far as the do's and the don'ts, and this works good for one person and not the next. So I just absorbed all of the information, but I also really went on the deep end as far as self-taught knowledge kind of stuff as well. So I think my process went, I would not have changed it for the world. And I think it went better than most, to be honest with you.
So let's say your program wasn't ideal and you needed all the resources because we're a lot alike and did all the research. Do you feel like you would have had enough content out there to support the good, the bad, the ugly, all the things like touching base with what can happen after a surgery with mental health, with relationships, because you've gone through a divorce. And I know you're very open about all of that. So do you feel like there's enough content out there about the good, the bad, the ugly?
Honestly, no, I don't think that there is. And I say that because there's a lot of like stuff for pre-surgery, but there's not enough about mental health. Because it is such a mind game, pre, during, and post-op. It's such a mind game. But in addition to that, it's relationships, it's connections, it's your job workplace. There's so much that it ties into and it's affected that I don't think that there is enough resources because in addition to what you eat, you want to have a community of what you eat, and that is a big source of it. But also you have to have your mental state prepared. And you also have to have like your kids, it affects your children. There's just so much to it. So I don't think that there is, because you can search out like bariatric recipes and all of them are pre-workout. If you go to Pinterest, they're all pre-surgery, prepping until you get to surgery. But it's nothing for, I'm 5 years out. There's no real good resources to what I should be eating now. So I think that there's a lot of things that there could be more resources. If you are not searching for it or no search for, then it's totally lost.
And so since you're touching base on mental health, and I really do not want to miss this aspect. This is completely off topic, but I wanted to touch base on it. So you had surgery much earlier than I did. We were best friends. We did all the things together, did all the nails together, like literally talked every day. You had surgery. I very much so was supportive during pre-op. I even took you to, I think, your 1 week appointment while you're eating out of the 1 ounce cup saying I'm struggling and I'm sitting here. But then you started losing the weight, becoming more confident, becoming more self, or you felt your self-worth. And I brought this up recently to you because now I'm experiencing what you've dealt with is you started feeling the changes in people around you, including myself. Mm-hmm. Like we were so close anyways. And I openly told you that I thought your posts on Facebook saying, if you don't support me, I don't need you. And I thought, I'm like, wow, that is like toxic positivity. Like what? And so we very much so, and I even I even did say this to you and me had a conversation, just, it wasn't a great conversation, right? It was very much so me not being so nice, right? And, but now I recently reached out to you and I told you, like, I apologize, because now I am feeling what I made you feel of, you're not, it's not a fake positivity. It is a, I genuinely feel good. I genuinely know now I don't have to put up with anybody's crap. I deserve more than what some people are giving me. Yeah. I even just wanted to say, bring that up, that I was one of those people that made another person feel that way. And karma came and bit me in the butt. No, for a good reason though. But I wanted to make awareness of that, that it could look like you're being fake positivity to other people around you, but genuinely you just can't even express your happiness enough. And you cannot express your,
it's so true,
I don't need your crap enough. Like, you're just, yeah. So I just wanted to, while you were touching base on that, though, I do want to know, how did that, I know how it makes me feel now because I'm dealing with that, but how did that make you feel? Mm-hmm. Especially because we were so close. So close. I lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that make you, how did I make you feel? Literally. So other
I'm
people.
I'm glad you did that because, yeah. And I'm glad you're bringing it up because you're not the only connection that I lost. It's,
oh, absolutely.
You're one person pre-surgery and you're a whole new person post-op. And I always wondered what it looked like to other people, like outside in, right? Because I'm living my life and your life, different perspectives. But at the end of the day, I felt like I was given a whole new life, a second chance at life. Mm-hmm. And I truly, genuinely, I had to take this seriously for my, and for my children's future.
Absolutely.
So for me to lose connections, it wasn't anything. It bothered me. I can't say that it didn't. It did bother me. I also had to keep moving forward. So I didn't have a minute to sit down and think about, oh, poor me, this relationship or whatever. I really had to keep moving. It, and it was a thought, especially like you said, we did everything. So mm-hmm. talked every day. Like, it was something that, like, your connection or relationship was the one that hurt the most of losing because we were so close. And I did, I don't have a sister. And so, like, it was
me
really
neither.
Hard, but
yeah. Yeah. You even said you were one of my bridesmaids at my wedding and you were the one that had to make the speech because my maid of honor wasn't doing it. And you said to Brett, my husband, so this is his twin sister, not just twin sister. They share the same womb. But you said to Brett, you said, I'm sorry. I know this is your wife, but you're sharing her. Sorry.
Oh,
I'm going to need to pull that video up for Maria. Yeah.
That's super cute.
So I think, and this gets us into our topic today, didn't you tell me that I was the first person you told that you were pregnant? Or maybe I was, I don't
know. I was so nervous to tell anybody, and you were the only person I could tell for some time because the stigma or like not having the judgment put onto me because I already had went through so much judgment of having the surgery to begin with. I didn't want to be criticized and put down any more than I already was. There's a stigma on it. So yeah, you were, I definitely, I told you and kept it to you and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. 2.5 months post-op. I don't, is a staple even healed by then, Maria?
No. You're healed, but that's rough. How did you, first of all, cause I don't know you that well. Was that something that, how did it happen? Was it intentional? Was it not intentional? Did you know it could happen that way? I'm really curious about it.
Yeah, I'll preface everything by saying when you are fertile Myrtle after surgery, you are fertile Myrtle. It took one time and one time only. And
wow.
Here we are, literally one time only. So to give a little backstory of myself and why I'm really passionate about getting your mental health and just having your mental health post-op just as much as pre-op is I was in a marriage that was rocky to begin with. When I decided to have this surgery, it was something that I was criticized and ridiculed because I was going to better myself. So I do that, right? So I pushed on. I still moved through because I knew what I needed to do, not what I wanted to do. And so I did it. And I separated like 2 weeks before my surgery date, and my husband, my ex-husband at the time, or at the now, he still took me to my surgery, but it was the most awkward and weirdest thing ever, because you have to have somebody, and I live an hour away from the closest family member. So he was my only option. He still took me to my surgery, and then we still stayed separated. I moved back to my hometown, and I did my post-op down there.
So I had
there,
to take her to her doctor.
Wow.
Yeah. So all of this happened at the same time. And so I lived down there, and it was like such a fog. I don't remember too much, but one of the days, for whatever reason, I didn't want to drive home. I think it was in the winter time, mm-hmm. in the travel an hour one way. I just didn't want it because I had kids, two boys. And so I asked
now
him,
has three boys. It was a bad so quit storm. Telling him you have me? More for girls.
No, you don't need any more. I'll leave you home more. You guys are all fertile girls now. So
and all boys.
Yes. Love it.
Yes. Boy mom, yeah. So I asked him to stay at his house, and it's late at night, had the conversation one time, and then I knew instantly I was so pissed. I went to bed so mad because I knew. I said I even had to sign a paper to the surgeon saying I would not get pregnant within the first 12 months. And
I bet you did. I bet you did.
I mean, I cussed him out. I was so mad. So, yes. And so fast forward, here we are. I was 2 months post-op, and I'm divorced and happily in a relationship, and it's totally different night and day pre and post-surgery. So,
wow. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Tell me, okay, I'm going to dive into a few things. At the time, were you using any kind of contraceptive?
I was not, because I thought I was going through a separation. I was fine. I wouldn't need it. And here we are.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because that's an unpredictable thing. Absolutely. That makes sense. And then how did you feel when it happened, talking to your healthcare providers about it? Did that feel difficult to do?
It was something that burdened me for several weeks. The online portal, could not call and make the appointment. I had to send my surgeon, and my surgeon and I had a really good connection and relationship. Yeah. So I sent her a message, and I said, I am sorry now.
Oh.
And I apologize. And then, I told her. And so, yeah. So she called me right away, and we made the appointment, and everything was fine. But
yes, these things happen. And I do want to congratulate you for actually contacting your surgeon and letting her know, because there are so many people out there that are afraid of what their surgeon or what their healthcare team or whatever will think or do. But guess what? 1,000 times out of 1,000, we want people to come in and be seen and communicate and tell us what's going on 100% of the time. I promise you. Good for you.
Yes.
So what did you...
Well, I didn't find, I was just going to say that I found that they were very much more helpful than I ever would have imagined. Like you said, they will help you. But it was something where I know I signed that paper. I signed on the dotted line saying I wouldn't. So just that fear of what would happen. But at the end of the day, they are here for our health. They are here for a reason. And so they really got me on the right path as far as setting me up for success on it. Definitely reach out, because it was a lot more scary sounding than it really was.
And so what did you struggle with since you were so far out and it's so new? You were still probably trying to figure out how to get your fluids in and how to get all your nutrition in. So did you struggle with all that?
Yes, I did. It was such a struggle because you're still tapering into what you can actually eat. And so then now, once I got pregnant, then I had to change it up to what a traditional post-op was to what I needed to do. And then didn't really have problems with eating per se. I was still so fresh out of surgery. I couldn't eat enough. Mm-hmm. So like what we ended up doing was doing 5 meals. So I just made smaller meals spread out through the day, and that helped. So as soon as I changed or made that change, it was totally different. And it became a lot easier for me to be able to do what was asked of doing that.
And he's a healthy, crazy little man. Oh my gosh. It's crazy how much time flies. So how did that change? Because for our program, it's 1 week, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year follow-up. Mm-hmm. So how did those follow-ups mm-hmm. change for you? And were there any extra testing you needed just to make sure you and baby were getting both?
What you needed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually ended up getting referred to a specialty OB doctor to be able to monitor me just because I was so fresh out of surgery. So I went to a major OB office that did housewife or midwives as well as regular OB. And so it was a very hop-in center, if you will. And I was the one that actually was the quickest after surgery. They had someone that was 5 months post-op, but not 2.5 months. So they ended up building a special panel to be able to come together from all over the US to be able to monitor my results. I actually had a lot of extra appointments.
Wow.
But I'm very thankful for that. Yeah.
And it's not
for them. And they go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. Go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, they collaborated together. And so I got extra ultrasounds. And so I was excited about that. What mom doesn't like that. But it was fun to go to all these extra ones, even though it was very time consuming and energy exhausting because you're trying to focus on your food and everything else. But it fit in well. And it was fun to have the extra ones overall.
In some ways, you're making it sound so good. I'm afraid that other people might go this route just to get the extra ultrasounds and the extra eyes on them and stuff. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But I know.
Please don't. Please don't.
Yeah, maybe not so good. But I know your surgeon personally who did your surgery and really respect her a lot. And it sounds this surgeon really went above and beyond to make sure that you were getting really great care and good coordination in that. And that really seems like it made a huge difference in your health, in your baby's health, and sort of the overall process, which otherwise could have been chaotic and difficult. Fair assessment?
Yes. 100%, I would agree. Yeah. Having the medical support staff in the weight loss surgery, as well as my OB, and they both collaborated together in addition to the panel. So I really had a lot of support post-op in the situation that I was put into. So yes.
2.5 months post-op. That is just the beginning of weight loss.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously I know that kind of probably sucked in your brain because you're like, I just had surgery, this big surgery to lose weight. And now I'm probably going to gain weight. But were you mentally able to handle the fact that you just did all of this work to have surgery to lose weight and now you're gaining it? You're supposed to gain it or at least stay stable. And do you think it did affect your overall outcome? I think you've been pretty successful, but...
Yeah. So I was so nervous. As you're pregnant, you have pregnancy gain, right? And so that was my biggest concern with all of the doctors that I always addressed with them is that I just don't want an abnormal amount of weight gain because I didn't want to mess up what I just went through and what I've been doing so far. And that was my concern, obviously, in addition to the baby safety, but the surgeons and the OB doctors took very seriously that they wanted to make sure they monitored as well. So I do feel that even though I did 2.5 months post-op get pregnant, I still was very successful because I still took it seriously, even if I was pregnant or not. I still took it very seriously. I still listened to what I was told to do, and I did it. Just making sure that I had the level head on my shoulder, I guess, of is this safe for me or the baby? Our safety has to be put at first. Weight loss is put second, but just making sure that we were safe overall, like my biggest goal. So I do feel it was successful. I guess I'll tell you my stats. My highest was 270. I got down. So I always say my lowest was 190, but that's a baby and baby weight. So looking at pictures to when I was pregnant, I definitely feel like I got down lower than that, like closer to the 170, but I've leveled out at around 200, about where I plateaued for several years. So I am 5 years post-op now. I'm very happy still to this day, even having gone through the pregnancy and
your other two pregnancies, I believe you were larger, right? I think you've always struggled with your weight, obviously. So even though you were a high pregnancy, if I'm not mistaken, I feel like you enjoyed this pregnancy more because you had some nice photos done, I believe. So do you actually think that pregnancy was easier just, honestly on your body. You might have been at the doctor more than you were at home, mm-hmm. but do you feel like it was easier at all or really no difference?
No, night and day difference, honestly. I gained all of my weight with my first pregnancy and I could not get it off. My average weight previously was around the 190 range. And so that's where I gained the 100 pounds, I feel, with my first one and just never got it off. And so I was just miserable internally, like mentally, as well as physically, because I have all the weight. So I don't know if I was able to really fully enjoy my pregnancies and my children when they were little. I definitely have a better connection with this child, and that's just naturally because I can get down and play on the floor with him yeah. and I'm not too tired or out of breath, or I can go out and play or ride bikes with all of the kids, not just him, but like I am 100% enjoying pregnancy. I love because I can feel the kicks better versus being surrounded by fat and it absorbs it kind of thing. Yeah, I definitely had a healthier pregnancy. I had 3 pushes and this child was out versus hours of labor with the other two. So
Cohen, your nephew, your pain in the butt. 92 hours of
brutal, brutal.
Yes.
She had as many hours as you had.
Shut up.
Less hours than she had. Yeah.
So do you recommend, and if you say the wrong thing, I'll edit it out, but no. Do you recommend? Would you have done anything differently?
I would have not gotten pregnant so close to surgery. I made it happen, but not everybody is as mentally ambunctious and prepared and just a go-getter as I am. I'm fully understand and fully aware of that, but even for me, it was a struggle. And why self-induce that? Why not take care of yourself? Because you're doing it for a reason. You're doing it to take care of yourself for your own results. So why would you not take it serious? You can have it anytime. I promise. It'll be there. The baby will be there in a year. Just ride it out. Take care of yourself. Get yourself prepped and ready. And then 100%, then you can go for it.
Actually, I do have a question. Were there things that were helpful to you in making it a successful pregnancy? What kind of things did you use as your supports and go-tos during that time?
Yeah, so I found on Facebook, it was a bariatric pregnancy. And I'm sorry, I don't know exactly but I found it and I just spent hours in like these chat forums is what I explain it or was it would explain it to you is I just spent hours in there just reading different people's mm-hmm. situations, because even from Tammy and I, our whole experience is so different. We have another sister-in-law that had the surgery and her situation was totally different. So just really learning of, okay, this what could be the possibility, or this is what could be the outcome, or just really educating. So then I'm not blindsided, or I know, oh, this worked really well for one person. So that was like my go-to, I guess, mm-hmm. of being successful with.
Are you struggling with anything now? Like when it comes to your exercise, your food intake, your
mental health, anything. Yeah. Your babies.
Yeah.
Look, these Lacoses are not for the weak.
So many boys in this Lacose family. This is wild.
This is true. I do see a therapist now. Is it because I'm struggling? No, I am a big advocate of mental health. I do. My middle son is diagnosed with autism and ADHD. So mental health is something that is already just naturally, I'm very pro mental health, I guess, just because of the life or situation that I've been given. So that is something I do, but I also do talk to her about the weight gain and how I'm scared to like gain it back or eating so on. So I do crave sugar. I've always said that my choice of drug is Mountain Dew. Always. Like there's
you gotta
no
have something. I understand.
Mountain Dew. There's just not.
Now I think now looking back, I obviously know Uli, and great kid, but do you think you could have handled him and his situation and advocated as well as you have for him having the patience and all of that. And honestly, you have to fight for the services he got. Would you have been able to do that without surgery, honestly?
No, there's no way I would have been able to. He is so exhausting. Something as little as putting your shoes on is just a fight for everything. Mm-hmm. So there's no way mentally or physically that I would have, emotionally, there's no way I would have had the capacity to with him. There's no way.
Yeah. Do you have anything more?
There's so much to this. We probably need to schedule a second visit with you, because it sounds like you went through not only bariatric surgery, not only bypass, not only a sleeve, but also a pregnancy within 2.5 months. And then also huge changes in your relationship, divorce, things like that. Having a kid with neurodivergence, just that's a lot in and of itself. That's not even touching on more than the 30 minutes we've been chatting, but just your resilience, your grit, your ability to trust yourself and to stick with things. You are a remarkable human being.
She's my twin.
Yeah, thank you.
See how we get along so well? We had a hiccup because,
life is hard.
But it's, as you said, though, it's just like you have to have the self-drive and will, and you have to not let things or people bother you. So you really just have to stay true to yourself, and you really do have to do what fuels you, because you do have a second chance of life, and it's either you're on board with me or you're not. It's just where I'm at.
And I feel that so much now. So I will forever apologize for the way I made you feel, but
no,
I think
stop.
No, you are very resilient. You are very, thank you so much for sharing your story. Yeah. You are an amazing person. And yes, we will have you on again for sure.
And sharing with people, there's a way to do it, even if it's really hard and it's really crazy.
Yes. So for everybody listening, don't forget to follow us, to go over to Instagram and look at Core Bariatrics if you have a question, concern, want to talk about anything or anything like that. So thank you, Miss Brittany.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Nice seeing you.
You too.